Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Stephen McCoy, and you are listening and watching Sessions with Stephen. And today we have the talented, amazing, multi-talented individual. You actually can find him on the Tony Award-winning show, A Strange Loop, which I got to see. You also get to catch him on season two of Hulu's Murders in the Building. And he is definitely a murderer on the stage, I'm telling you. Mr. Jason Beasley, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, I came to see the show a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And wow. All I can say is just I've never seen a show like this on Broadway before.
Yeah. Yeah. Neither have I. It's, we're definitely... that girl, as the kids say. Yeah. We are part of a club of shows that people have said about when they, you know, from Rent or Sunday in the Park with George or A Chorus Line or Hamilton, you know, to be in those things that kind of move something forward. But neither of those shows look or sound like this show, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that, actually. I mean, you guys are definitely breaking down doors. I mean, what was your initial reaction when you first actually read the script for this?
And yeah. So the first time I ever read the script, a script for it, was back in 2012. That's how long I've been with the show.
About 11 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coming up on. And I remember specifically reading the lyrics to Inwood Daddy. I had not heard the music yet, but I remember reading the lyrics to Inwood Daddy and being like, this is a song in a musical?
Exactly. I couldn't believe it.
And I also remember leading up to that, Michael had sent me a bunch of YouTube clips of other songs from just his catalog. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of taken aback and bowled over by the beauty of his music, the aesthetic of his music, but also the lyrics and what they were talking about and the way that they were formed. And after I did my first reading of it, I immediately called my mom and said, Mom, I don't know about my involvement with this piece. I don't know how that's going to go. You know, things change on a dime in this business, but
yeah.
This is going to be something about this piece is going to be, it is really special. So I remember just being, I just had never read a script like that. The last time I read something even remotely similar or saw it was the first time I read the script for a musical called Passing Strange. It was a specificity of Blackness and a sector of Blackness that I just feel like had not been seen before.
I mean, even just your character, you know, you playing the dad and it was a lot of heat going on. And even, which to my surprise, there was questions that was asked amongst the child. I'm asking the child, well, if you're attracted to men, does that mean that you're attracted to me too? The ignorance. And you know, I don't use the word ignorance in a bad way. It's just some people actually do think that. Where did you draw your emotions to play this type of character?
So it's a few things. I realized early on in the development of that scene and the evolution of that scene leading up to Play or Off Broadway up to now, the one thing that stood out to me is that we have, whether it be in media or plays or art in general, you either have the fire and brimstone, I'm gonna beat your ass, get out my house, dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the loving, very supportive, I love you no matter what, dad. Which is what I had.
Mm. Right?
We never see the in-betweens. We never see the men who do love their children, the men who don't really think that they are homophobic. Right? The men who are not going to kick their child out of the house, who are not going to beat their child because they're gay, but the men who are kind of like, I don't want, you can be gay, just don't be no bottom. You know, those, you know. And so quickly I realized that there was a nuance in that kind of father, a father who does love their child, but just doesn't understand their child.
Right.
And then the other thing that kind of stuck out to me is that you have a mother, both of these parents do love their child. You have a mother who is just fire and brimstone. You're going to go to hell. I am worried for your salvation. I am worried for all these things. And the thing I like to think that people may not realize is that, yes, his questions, the father's questions, are always inappropriate, problematic, and toxic. But unlike the mother, he's still asking his child questions. Mm. He thinks he is doing the best he can in an effort to get to know his child. And when the child says, your questions harm me, that's when he gets emotional, because he no longer has any tools to help his child, because that's the only thing he knew. On top of, by asking questions, he was doing this.
Yeah.
And so me, to the best of his ability. So him doing this not working now means, oh, if that's not working, I don't know what to do. So I got to get out of here, you know? Yeah. So that's the only way I can, you know, approach it. I just see him as a man who, even if Usher was straight, would still be like, what?
Yeah, you know? And like, this is a ball a little bit harder.
Yeah. It's also you know, a man from a generation where love is tangible things. There is food on the table. We got you to go. We paid money for you to go to NYU. We made sure that you didn't get shot on the streets. What do you mean you want me to care about your complexity?
Right. Yeah.
You know. So that's where I kind of take it. In addition to the fact that my dad is the extreme of kind of like, I love you. So just the idea and the notion that there are people and there are plenty of people who haven't experienced that is enough to make me walk in. It is enough sadness for me about that.
Yeah. It's so sad that people are still dealing with that. And you know, one thing that you guys really did touch on as well, even just the stereotype of that, all that HIV, AIDS, a gay disease, and you know, if you're gay, then that means you must have it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very a strong thing to touch on Broadway. I couldn't believe I was really watching it. Because when I came to the show, I saw a diverse of audiences. It was everyone from Caucasian to Black American. What do you think the audience will, how does that impact when they leave the theater?
During the moment that you're talking about is one of my favorite moments in the show, because I'm one of the three people on the top level of the set. There's if you haven't seen the show, something goes down. And then we're in this set, right? And I'm on the top level. And at that time, because of the lighting of the show, the audience doesn't realize that pretty much we can see y'all's face. Like, you guys are very well lit. So I'm just up there on the top level, two-stepping, step touching the ooze and I, and we can literally watch everyone and their reaction. And for some reason with this show, it highlights in that moment everyone's receiving of this piece via their identity, right? So you have the white folks who are just clapping along because they're truly just not listening and paying attention, and they're just only looking at surface Black entertainment. They have no idea. Then you have the white folks who are kind of like, you know. Then you have the Black folks who are the Black people and white people or whatever who grew up in the church, who are currently dealing with the trauma that caused them, and they are just shocked and stunned and can't believe that this is what's happening. There can be tears. Then you have some folks from the church, but usually Black, who have dealt with that trauma or on the other side of it. And I was just kind of like, because I've been through it, I'm laughing. I know this, we're doing it. This is hilarious because I understand the positive cultural aspects of what it's like in the call and response, but also what I was on the receiving end of. Mm-hmm. You have people who just don't understand what is happening at all.
Yeah.
It's a wild thing to watch when we get to that moment.
Yeah.
And that's just church-based. It's amazing how many people see those three letters behind us, H, I, and V, and still equate it to certain things, still equate it to AIDS, still equate it to a punishment, you know? The stigma and shame and silence that happens, particularly within our community, that is the cause of it. And I think that the correlation between church and feeling like AIDS is a punishment from God is something that leads to death in all forms, whether it be not taking care of yourself on purpose because you believe it's a punishment from God, or going to drugs because you feel like it's a punishment from God. There's so many ways that our community kills themselves upon diagnosis.
The show has so many layers. Oh my goodness. I mean, we could really go on and on. Another topic that was touched was on bullying. And I don't know if that's something you recognize or where you also, because some people might look at you as like someone who's always had it together. You look great. And or have you ever been on the other side of bullying or?
Yes. I will say that, like, you know, part of getting older or being on this planet a little bit longer is looking back and realizing that your experiences are your experiences, but there are people who had it way, 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 way worse. You know, I definitely had experiences of bullying and feeling othered to a point where it affected me deeply in a real true way from 5th to 7th grade. In small ways, you know, like in the ways that, you know, really don't matter anymore. I call it the joint, you know, every we've all got pain, bullying, you know, like
being the kid
where some cousin of yours says you talk white, you know, that's happened to all of us, right? We get it, right? You can move on from that. But I've had, you know, extreme bullying where, you know, getting beat up and, you know, getting assaulted in ways from other kids. You know, I was lucky enough to, at the age of 13, to I think something that was laying dormant in me that I just hadn't expressed or incurred. The part of me that says that I wish a motherfucker would, that's when that snapped into place for me at 13.
Yeah.
Along with the support of my parents and having great parents who definitely encouraged us to advocate and stand up for ourselves by any means necessary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. But all of that was made easier because my parents were just top notch in those ways. The show for me is not a source of triggering in that way, if I'm going to be honest. One, I wasn't a church kid. I didn't grow up going to church. So that kind of helps me do that. But yeah, I had my fair share of things that definitely have had to been worked out through therapy. But I can also acknowledge that not to a level that I'm still working out to this day in terms of what I see a lot of people in our community still feeling, whether it be from the queer community or the Black community. I'm very blessed and have been very lucky to have been able to get through those things with a lot of help.
And you are a very loved individual. You are a very inspirational figure. And I wanna know, what has been the change of your life, even since inception of the show, when you first started, throughout your career, the moments with the fans that comes on the side of the building, and you know, what is a memorable moment for you in your career?
I think as of right now, and probably till the end of my career, A Strange Loop will be the greatest professional love of my life. There's never gonna be another one like her. I think the coolest thing is the relationship between me knowing that this is something that was special and seeing it be confirmed by how it's being received by audience members that I meet after the show. And you know, I meet a ton of people who are theater people, right? Black, queer theater people who've been theater people since whenever the bug hit them. Who know Black theater very well, but to see those people finally get their shot to be like, oh my God, I thought I'd been seen before, but now I truly, truly feel seen is wild to me. To meet young people who either love theater but were kind of questioning if they had a place in it, and seeing the show confirms that there's a place in theater for them is great. To meet young people who this is their entry to theater is like,
that's so great. And before we go, I would like to know, what project do you have in the works? I mean, Broadway is a demanding schedule in itself, so I don't see how you have time to do all the other things that you
You can watch Only Murders in the Building on Hulu right now, the second season. Cross fingers. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to assume.
Put it out there.
I'm going to assume that you will be seeing me on this third season in some very interesting capacity. I'm not going to spoil anything for people who haven't watched it. But there are tons of projects coming all of our way, so just cross fingers that we're able to do them. I am loving being in the show, but I'm also looking forward to the next little vitamin or morsel from my buffet, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to do a play. I will say this. I would love to take a break from singing for a while. Yeah,
rest your vocal cords a bit.
I've been singing straight since I got out of college. That's a while. So let's, you know, I proved that I can do it. I'd like to just talk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we would love to see more of that. And congratulations on all of your success. I mean, nowadays, Broadway has taken a lot of different hits, and even television in itself. And you're still thriving in the shows that you're selecting and been chosen for and was blessed to do. You're killing them. So
thank you. And I just want to say that, like, I'm a fan. I'm proud of you.
Thank
we
you.
Don't know each other really well, but I just love watching you do your thing, and I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much. I love you.
Me too.
Hey, subscribe now.